I really, really, really want to finish this inheritance. Having been here for 16 weeks doing it, and the last 3 weeks I meant to finish the last session, and God has had other things to do. So I really want to finish it today so that we can move on to something else. But we have an inheritance because Jesus died. He died for us, and he left us stuff in his will, if you like. You can take that will as a literal will. You could take it as the will of God for our lives, but he has left us a whole load of things. But at the end of it, he's left us with a mission to fulfill, a destiny and a purpose, and he's left us with a mantle of authority. And we've been looking at the children of Israel and their experiences to give us insight into this. 1 Corinthians 10:11. These things happened to them as an example. An example to who? To us. Upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And we're those people that the ends of the ages have come. And God wants us to learn from their example so that we can actually take the same journey that they took. A journey from slavery to sonship. A journey of restoration of their inheritance. And we've been looking at the whole thing of a Joshua generation who inherit what God has given them to inherit and enable another generation to come in. And that's what we believe God's called us to do here. So Joshua and Caleb are examples. And we can learn from their lives the lessons to help us now. There are 40 characteristics that I found as I was looking at this and God showed me to help us inherit and be forerunners. See, Joshua and Caleb were forerunners. They went in first. A whole lot of other people didn't want to go in, but they decided they were going to receive God's promises and the fullness of what God had called them. And they went in and then they took another generation in. And God is calling a new generation of people like Joshua and Caleb to rise up. To rise up, take hold of what belongs to them in God's kingdom, and to give it away to others and bless other people with it. Will you be one of those people? That's the question I believe God wants to ask. So I'm going to recap on the first 20-odd of those. Just read them out. I'm not going to teach on them. Otherwise, we'll be here for another 16 weeks. One, Joshua generation will be victorious. Victorious warriors dependent on God for supernatural victory. Two, Joshua generation will have servant hearts, be gentle and humble in heart. Three, Joshua generation will know the glory of God as a consuming fire. Four, Joshua generation will be hungry and thirsty for the intimacy of God's presence. Five, Joshua generation will be chosen as forerunners to enter the promised land. Six, Joshua generation will be men and women of faith who speak and live by the word of God. Seven, Joshua generation will have and operate in a militant spirit and fully follow the Lord. Eight, Joshua generation will be sensitive to and feel grief over sin. Nine, Joshua generation will be men and women of the spirit. 10, Joshua generation will be chosen and anointed and commissioned by God for the task. 11, Joshua generation will be equipped to enable the next generation to possess the land. 12, Joshua generation will witness the awesome overcoming power of God. 13, Joshua generation will be strong and courageous. 14, Joshua generation will be filled with the spirit of wisdom. 15, Joshua generation will meditate on God's word day and night. 16, Joshua generation will be obedient to God's directions. 17, Joshua generation will be prosperous and successful. 18, Joshua generation will know that they walk with God. 19, Joshua generation will be equipped to prepare provisions to live by faith. 20, Joshua generation will equip people to be consecrated or sanctified, to be set apart, dedicated and holy. And that's where we got stuck, because that took about 4 weeks to do that. 21, Joshua generation will free the next generation from reproach and the effects of the past generation into a fresh new revelation of God's past activities. So the things we've seen in the past are going to come in a fresh new way. Basically what that says. 22, and this took quite a number of weeks, Joshua generation will encourage people to hear the word of God directly. And that does not just mean hear in a physical sense. It means see, feel, know, embrace, and have total revelation of God in heaven and on earth. 23, Joshua generation will operate with the angels and the heavenly realms. And we spent 3 weeks looking at that. So basically, we have an inheritance which is earthly and heavenly. And we need the heavenly to be able to manifest the earthly. We've tried it the other way around, and it's a real struggle. We have on earth as it is in heaven. That's what God has called us to do. Our inheritance is to bring heaven to earth through our lives as gateways. We are royal priests. Therefore, we have access into the holy things of God, and we have authority as kings and priests to actually outwork heaven on earth. So, let's finish off the last 16 of these. You think that's impossible? No, I'm going to do it. Joshua's generation will be honored and respected by the next generation. Joshua 4:14. On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, so that they revered him just as they had revered Moses all the days of his life. See, God is creating a culture of honor in which we honor each other for who we're called to be and what we're called to do. And that, therefore, as we honor God and put him first, we can honor each other in those things. Jesus said, if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. So you have to honor people in what God has called them to do, who they are in God, and you will receive from them the reward of their lives. And if they honor you, they'll receive the reward from you. And it's God wants to create an environment where we see this outworked. A real practical environment, not just theoretical. And we're not talking about putting people on pedestals so that they can fall off. We're talking about honoring the gift and the call of God in people's lives and their redemptive gift and all that stuff. 25, Joshua generation will hear God's strategy for warfare. Joshua 6, there it talks about when Joshua received instructions about how Jericho's walls were going to fall down. And God is opening up the realms of heaven so we can get strategy from strategy and war rooms in heaven to know what to do on earth. So we're not just talking about God giving us a little bit of this, and actually he's inviting us to come and hear his strategies so that we can bring blueprints and strategies from heaven to outwork on earth. That is a whole different dimension of strategy. But God is opening those realms and calling us in so we can hear from him directly and again manifest heaven on earth. 26, Joshua generation will start to be known and get public attention. Joshua 6:27, the Lord was with Joshua and his fame was in all the land. When we start actually doing the signs and wonders and miracles that God is calling call us to do, and some of the awesome things in terms of bringing heaven to earth, people will take notice. Therefore, we need to be ready to deal with media pressure, because it will come. Once we start to see people raised from the dead, things that go beyond even that, into fire coming down from heaven and things like that, people are going to be pressurizing us. Therefore, we have to operate righteously with justice and be holy. Because if you've got skeletons in the closet, they will dig them up and find them. So let's make sure that we deal with the stuff in our lives, make sure there's nothing hidden, that we're not afraid of people finding out and discovering stuff. We've all got history. We've all got a past. We've all messed up. But actually, if we're hiding that from each other, then there's a danger that in the dark, and the enemy can use what's in the dark. So let's bring stuff into the light. And we have to make sure that in all that God's doing, in the power of God that's coming, he gets the glory. Past generations have failed because they've taken glory for themselves and promoted themselves instead of bringing glory to God. As Mick said earlier, let's cast our crowns before God, because it's all about him and it's not about us. It's to bring him glory and honor. So let's make sure we do that. 27, Joshua generation will take a radical stand against sin. Joshua 7:13, rise up, consecrate the people and say, consecrate yourselves tomorrow. For thus the Lord, the God of Israel, has said, there are things under the ban in your midst. O Israel, you cannot stand before your enemies until you have removed the things under the ban from your midst. It shall be that one who is taken with the things under the ban shall be burned with fire, and he and all that belongs to him, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has committed a disgraceful thing in Israel. Now, you should be frightened about that, actually. Not fear in, but fear in actually the fear of the Lord, because God wants a holy people. And if there are things in our midst that are things that God has called us to lay down, God's called us to deal with, and we're not dealing with them, then actually there will be defeat in our individual lives and corporately. So it's important that we deal with those things. Now, people aren't going to be burned with fire at the stake here, okay? Might happen in other countries, but we won't burn people with fire if they make a mistake. Or if you get it wrong, or you sin, actually what we'll want to do is to restore and help you deal with that stuff. Because we can see the fire of God's presence come to purify and refine us, not destroy us. So God in the new covenant, fortunately for us, doesn't have to put us in fire. He puts us in spiritual fire to enable us to change. Matthew 13:41. The Son of Man will send forth his angels. And we've seen these angels here over and over again. And they're here today. There's a whole ring of them around the outside of the back of the room, standing there ready to gather. What are they going to gather? They're going to gather out of his kingdom. Not out of the world, out of the kingdom. Stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness. They want to remove that from our lives. They don't want to remove us. But if we refuse, there is a danger. Because we can welcome the fire of God to consume our sin, our iniquity, or it can consume us and remove us. And Ananias and Sapphira be warned. If you know that story in the New Testament, you know they dropped down dead because they refused to allow God into their lives to do what they needed to do. So let's be really open about this. If we want to be responsible for the things that God's called us to do, there is a cost to that responsibility. There's a cost that comes with being forerunners. You have to actually pay that cost if you want to be a forerunner. 28. Joshua generation will be careful to always seek counsel from God before making decisions. So often, it's so easy just to operate on memory of what we've done before and assume and presume that what we do is okay because it worked last time. God allowed me to do this last time. Actually, we need to go to God every time. Joshua 9:14. The men of Israel took some of their provisions and did not ask for the counsel of the Lord. Joshua made peace with them. And this was a group of people who came to hide and deceive Israel. And God, he made a covenant with them to let them live. And the leaders of the congregation swore an oath to them. They were a constant stumbling block to Israel right throughout the generations because they made a covenant with the enemy. And covenants are powerful things. So we've really got to be careful to seek counsel before we make decisions so that we know it's God's will that we're doing and not just the things that we think are okay and are right. And that is going to become important. 29. Joshua generation will put the enemy under their feet. We like that one. Joshua 10:24. They brought these kings out to Joshua. Joshua called for the men of Israel and said to the chiefs of the men of war who had gone with him, come near, put your feet on the necks of these kings. So they came near, put the feet on the necks. Joshua said to them, do not fear or be dismayed. Be strong and courageous, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies with whom you fight. Notice, only the enemies that we fight. If you've made peace with the enemy, then God will not be able to deal with it. You cannot make peace with the enemy. That's what they did in making a covenant with the Gibeonites. They made peace with the enemy rather than destroying the enemy. If you make peace with the enemy, it will enable the enemy to work in your life. Now, these kings represent things in us as a whole generation. We did a whole teaching on the kings and what they were, a whole list of how they are things in our lives that we can deal with. Also, there are kings in the realms of heaven that block the everlasting doors. They need to be under our feet. The only way you can be under our feet is we go above them. Because we've been raised up to be seated in heavenly places above all the principalities and powers and the other spiritual beings that are out there. So we need to be ruthless with the enemy. Don't compromise and don't allow him to fool you into thinking, oh, he'll back off if you back off. Don't back off. Destroy the enemy ultimately in your life. And we're not talking about flesh and blood and people, we're talking about spiritual things and things that are in our lives. And Luke 10:19, Jesus talked to his disciples. He says, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. So we don't need to be afraid of tackling the enemy, because it's a promise that nothing will injure us. But we have to tread on them and squash them and deal with those things in our lives, whether they're mindset, strongholds, familiar spirits, demonic things, whatever they are, patterns of thinking, emotional baggage stuff, make sure we are in authority over it and destroy it. Romans 6:20, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet, not under his feet, under our feet. But he's involved when we go to war. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. The grace is the divine enabling power of God to put these things under our feet and squash them. Don't compromise. 1 Corinthians 15:25. He must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Well, who's his feet? We are his body. So we have to bring dominion. God's original call to Adam and Eve was to bring dominion, to bring the authority of heaven on earth and outwork it, to subdue the earth and bring it under the authority of God. It hasn't changed. It was always his plan. It's still his plan. He's called us to outwork that plan. Let's be willing. Ephesians 1:22. He put all things in subjection under his feet, and he gave him as head over all things to the church. He is our head. We're his body. Therefore, when we do the things that he wants us to do, we have the authority to deal with the enemy and see them under us, not over us. Number 30, Joshua's generation will be ruthless in their pursuit and eradication of the enemy. And we're not talking about flesh and blood. Joshua 11:12. Joshua captured all the cities of these kings and all their kings, and he struck them with the edge of the sword and utterly destroyed them, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded. Because it says, goes on to say, for it was the Lord to harden their hearts to meet Israel in battle, in order that he might utterly destroy them, and they might receive no mercy, that he might destroy them, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. See, God arranges battles for us. We call them trials and troubles and tribulations and difficulties, and we don't like them. But those are the battles that God has ordained, that we grow and we learn to conquer and overcome and fight. So if you want an easy life as a Christian, don't be part of the Joshua generation. In fact, you won't get one anyway, to be honest, because you've got an enemy. He's out to destroy you, to rob and to kill and destroy. But you've got a God who wants you to have abundant life, flowing and overflowing from the source of life in heaven through our lives and around us to manifest God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So let's be willing to pursue and destroy those things that are in opposition to God's will. Number 31, Joshua's generation will operate in great signs and wonders. It's like we have seen nothing yet when it comes to signs and wonders. What are signs and wonders? Signs point to something. They point to God's ultimate power and glory. Wonders make you wonder. How on earth did that happen? What on earth was that about? And certain things are going to take place which cause us to wonder and just awesome, see how awesome our God is. Joshua 10:12. Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the sons of Israel and said in the sight of God, O sun, stand still. And it did. O moon, stand still. And it did for a whole day. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped until the nation avenged themselves on their enemies. God will enable us to do awesome things. Things that we've not yet seen. Some things that you see in the Old Testament, some of those things will be repeated. But there are things that have never been seen that God is going to do in this generation. And we need to be open and willing for God to use us in those things. Now, 1 John 3:8 says, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. So if Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil that he did from the beginning, then guess what we're supposed to do? Destroy the works of the devil. That is our mission, to put things back into its rightful order, to restore things back to original purpose. What are those things? Sin. That's what the devil did from the beginning. Jesus came to destroy sin. How? Not to destroy sinners, but to destroy sin. So he wants us to be pure and holy so that we do not live in bondage to sin, that we are in overcomers of it. Sickness, death, bondage, oppression, poverty, blindness, all sorts of things. Jesus came and he overcame nature. So he walked on water. He turned water into wine. He had power to do supernatural things. And he wants to give us the same power and authority to restore dominion, all authority in heaven and earth was given to him. He's opened up the realms of heaven so that we can actually do the same things that he did. Live there and live here and manifest heaven on earth and go beyond. See, if Adam and Eve had not sinned, they wouldn't have stopped at making the earth a garden of God. They would have gone outwards to the rest of the universe and beyond. And God is calling us to the same thing. You can be content with a little bit here, or you can be seeing your full inheritance, which is the whole of God's creation. There's a lot of stuff there. I'm not going to go down that rabbit trail now, as I'll never finish. 32, Joshua's generation will ensure that nothing God's commands will be unfinished. Joshua 11:15. Just as the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua, so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all the Lord had commanded Moses. Nothing undone. And it's like, don't do half a job. Don't leave things half done. Finish the work that God has called you to do. God wants us to come to him when we finished our work and say, well done, good and faithful servant. He won't say that if you do a little bit of what he's called you to do. You may get 30-fold blessing or 60-fold blessing, 90-fold blessing, but hey, I want the 100-fold. So I want to do everything God's called me to do and fulfill it. See, don't allow the good to be the enemy of the best. Sometimes we get good things in God and it makes us complacent and content. It's like God wants us to be content with him, but discontented with not having the fullness of what our inheritance is, and not be just allowing those things which are really good to stop us. See, Adam and Eve had something really good in the garden. They walked with God. It was wonderful, but that wasn't the best. And they missed out on the best because they were content with the good. They never went and ate the tree from the tree of the fruit of life, where they could have done. And they could have entered into a whole different dimension, but they allowed that to stop. Now, God wants us to be pioneers and not settlers. If you settle, then you will try and maintain and you will try and protect where God has called us to take ground continually. Ground in our own lives, ground around us, ground in the world and beyond. Number 33, Joshua's generation will bring the next generation into the fullness of their inheritance. It's not about us. It's about us passing on to the next generation and enabling them so that our ceiling is their floor, that we pass the baton, that we don't hold it to ourselves and refuse to let it go. We need to equip and raise up another generation. Joshua 11:23. Joshua took the whole land according to all the Lord had spoken to Moses. Joshua gave it for an inheritance to Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land had rest from war. Now, if you read the story, it didn't mean that the conflict was over. It just meant that the whole nation who came together to battle together actually went out and took their land, but then they were supposed to do what? Administer that in their own land. They had to administer their individual and corporate tribe inheritance. They were given a portion. It still had to drive out the enemy from that land. They were then responsible. The main battles were won, but then they had to go and make sure and enforce that victory. And in a sense, Jesus has won the main battle, but he's called us to enforce that victory in our lives and through our lives and around us. And so we never get actual rest from war. We get rest in Christ to enable us to have victory. But we still have to battle. So we have a destiny and a birthright. We have redemptive gifts and a ministry that is our inheritance as an individual. And some of this is what we're going to look at next. Some of these individual things that God has called us to have that we have to fight for. We have to take hold of what belongs to us. Yes, we corporately can help and support, but actually it's down to each individual whether they choose to take what belongs to them or not. And God is calling us to possess our inheritance. 34, this will be a good one for some of you. Joshua's generation will have supernatural strength for war like Caleb. He was 85 years of old age. So some of you are, let's say, not as young as some of the others here. Won't say anything more. He was 85 years of age and he was strong as he was when he was younger. See, this is supernatural strength, because he had supernaturally doing the things that God called him to do. Joshua 14:11, I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now for war and for going out and coming in. Then he said, give me the hill country. That hill country, or Hebron, is the best of the best of the best in Israel. The best place. Now, Israel was supposed to be the best place in the world to them. Therefore, this was the best of the best. And he went for it. And basically, what was there? The Anakim, giants, and fortified cities. Did that stop him? Not on your Nelly did it stop him. Because he had strength, supernatural strength, to actually go out and do what God had called him to have, his inheritance. So he went out and he slew the giants and he stripped them out and he took that best part of the possession that belonged to him. God has got that for each of us. So we can't use age as an excuse for not possessing our inheritance. God will use anybody who's willing. It's not about how old you are, it's about your willingness and your willingness to take what God has given you and use it for his kingdom. Number 35, Joshua generation will be giant killers, forerunners for the next generation. There are so many giants to kill. There are so many giants, and you can take that figuratively or you can take that naturally. There are whole things about Nephilim spirits being raised up. There's a whole load of stuff, which I'm definitely not going into now. But that's real, and therefore we have to be able to kill the giants, the spiritual giants that are there wanting to stop us having our inheritance. This is what Joshua did. Joshua 15:14, Caleb drove out from there the three sons of Anak, Sheshai and Ahiman, and and the children of Anak. He drove them out. He dealt with the giants that were occupying his inheritance. If the others didn't deal with the giants that were occupying their inheritance, they wouldn't possess the land. Some of them didn't. There are giants and dragons and kings, which are spiritual beings, which occupy mountains and thrones in the kingdom of God, in the heavenly realms, and they block the everlasting doors. They block heaven coming to earth. Now, don't get caught up in all the sort of things of it. The reality is, Satan is a serpent, and he has serpents that belong to him. We need to deal with them. What did Jesus say? You can tread on serpents, put them under your feet and trample them down and bring them under the authority of God. But God has called us to deal with those spiritual things that are blocking God's kingdom manifesting on earth, and we have to do it. We are called to dispossess them and occupy our places of spiritual authority in open heaven. We live in heaven to manifest it on earth. And there is stuff there which is stopping us, and we need to get rid of it. Joshua generation will bring revelation that wherever the next generation place their feet, they will possess. That means the world, the universe, the heavens, their inheritance, and our destiny is way beyond what we imagine or think. And we need to really go for it. You see, it wasn't a piece of land in Canaan that was where it was supposed to end. That was where it was supposed to begin. Romans 14:4-13, the promise to Abraham or his descendants. Who are his descendants? Us. Spiritually, we're his descendants, that they would be heir of the world. That has always been God's intention, that we would be heir of the world, and I believe beyond that now. Matthew 28:18-20, all authority in the heavens and on earth has now been given to Jesus, and he has now been given that to us. So his plan through Adam, Noah, Abraham, David, and through the church will be fulfilled if a people will be willing to embrace their destiny and who they're called to be. Number 37, Joshua generation will encourage a passion to love God and walk in his ways and serve him with all our hearts. We have to have passion for God. We have to put God first. Joshua 22:5, be very careful to observe the commandment of the law which Moses the Lord commanded you. And we're not talking about a set of regulations here. We're talking about a relationship with the person of God to fulfill and bless him, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments and hold fast to him and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, Jesus exactly said the same thing. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, everything. And Joshua 23:11 says, take diligent heed to yourselves to love the Lord your God. It isn't going to happen unless we really push for it. We have to really press in and make it the most important thing in our life, our relationship with God. See, we've been talking, doing Joshua Generation groups, helping you get into the realms of heaven, to the river of life and the tree of life and those things. They're great exercises and good things to experience and encounter, but the reality of it is you'll never fulfill those things regularly if you haven't got an awesome relationship with God, because it comes out of our relationship. Yes, God enables us to engage him, but we have to do it. It says, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. So we need to draw near to where he is. He's in us, so we need a relationship with him on the inside. He's also in the realms of heaven. We need a relationship with him there. So let's be willing to pursue that. Number 38, Joshua Generation will warn the next generation of the dangers of compromise and going backwards. It's a really important one. Joshua 23:12. If you ever go back and cling to the rest of these nations, these things that remain among you and intermarry with them, so that you associate with them and they with you, know with certainty that the Lord your God will not continue to drive out these nations before you, and they will be a snare and a trap and a whip and on your sides and thorns in your eyes until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. It's like some of you who are working through struggles with addictions. If you go back, it gets worse. Don't go back. Don't compromise. Deal with the things in your life that will draw you back into your past situations. Because if you go back to the things that you want to be set free from, they become a snare and a trap. And I'd encourage you, make sure you deal with everything and don't compromise. Don't intermarry with the rubbish that's in the world. I'm not talking about people, we're talking about spiritual things here. Don't associate with things that are going to rob you of who you are, because they will become a trap and a snare, and we really need to make sure that we have a generation who are pursuing God with holiness, not compromising and messing around with the world stuff. Because those people will see Jesus return. If you mess around with the world, he's going to have to raise up another generation. Joshua 39, and in number 39, Joshua generation will charge the next generation to never stop waging war until the kingdom of God fills the earth and the glory of God fills the earth and Jesus returns. Judges 1:1 came about that after the death of Joshua, the sons of Israel inquired of the Lord, saying, who shall go up first for us against the Canaanites to fight against them? And in Numbers and in Isaiah, talks about there being no increase of his government, no end to the increase of his government. Just because we get into a good place in God, don't stop there. There's something more always. And we need to fight for it, because Jesus is going to come back for a glorious, spotless church who have made herself ready. It's like we can be part of that if we choose to follow what God is calling us. Numbers 14:21. Indeed, as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. Do you not long for that? Well, if you long for it, be a channel of it, because we're a gateway for God's glory to manifest on the earth. It isn't just going to fall out of the sky. It's going to come from heaven to earth through us. Isaiah 2:2. It will come about in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord, that's the church, will be raised up in authority, will be established as the chief mountain and be raised up above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. When the world is falling apart and the shaking comes, all the world systems and all those mountains in the world start to crumble and fall, we need to be raised up. So we need to be the example of how to bring sick healing to the sick when there are plagues and things that are incurable anywhere else. We need to be able to have provision that comes supernaturally from God when the financial system collapses. All this stuff, God is wanting to establish his people as the answer to whatever the problems are. But for that, we need to be able to live that in our own lives. If we have not got the answers to the problems, how are people going to come to us? You know, that testimony earlier of Becky talking about being healed instantly, then someone else hearing that testimony and being drawn to it, that's exactly a picture of what's going to happen in these days. When we start seeing things happen supernaturally, the world will start to be drawn to those supernatural things. But it's up to us whether we're going to operate in it or not. Isaiah 9:7, there will be no end to the increase of his government and peace, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of the kingdom. It's how we do things. And God will do it if we're willing. The last one. Hey, got there. Number 40. Joshua generation will set a clear choice before the next generation. Their past or future. And everyone has got a choice. You can stay where you are and go back, or you can go forward. Joshua 24:14. Therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourself today whom you will serve, whether the gods which of your fathers served, which are beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in the land you live in. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I can say for here as a church, we're going to serve the Lord. We're not going to do those things of the past, whether they're religious traditions, things of our fathers or our forefathers, where they messed up. We want to go forward. Therefore, we're going to learn from the things that instructed them, and we're not going to make the same mistakes. Or if we do, we're going to pick ourselves up and actually go beyond it and learn from them, because God is setting us a choice. What are we going to do? Who are we going to serve? God is calling us to go forward in this. I believe these days we live in are significant days. Daniel 12:3. Those who have insight will shine brightly. We need to know these things. That's why I'm teaching this stuff, so people will know what the characteristics of this generation are and pursue them. So we can shine brightly. Where are we going to shine? Like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. And those who lead many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. We are called to lead a generation to righteousness. It's up to us whether we're willing to do that. As for you, Daniel, conceal these words, seal up the book until the end of time. I believe that's where we are right now, and these books are now being opened. The revelation of heaven and these things are now being opened, which were not open before. There's a progressive revelation that God has given. Many will go back and forth and knowledge will increase. That sounds like today. God is opening revelation today for us to embrace. The books are open and they're open for us. It's whether we're willing to embrace it. Or do you want to carry on with the gods of the past? I don't want that. I don't want to follow the past stuff. A whole lot of religious stuff. I want to be set free to operate in the kingdom of God. What we do now will determine how we spend eternity. So it's important what we do now. So I want to encourage you, follow God's call for your life. Don't hold back. You can have 30-fold and live in the outer court. I don't want to live in the outer court. It's not a very nice place. The inner court, 60-fold. The holy place, 90-fold. But there's holy of holies and beyond. You know, I believe there's only 10% who may be willing to pay the cost. But if there is, I want to be part of that 10%. I'm not going to be satisfied with 30-fold, 60-fold, or 90-fold. I want 100-fold. I want to be one of those that God is going to use to bring his kingdom so Jesus can return. Do you want to be that? It's a choice that all of us have to make. Joshua, in Joshua 24:27, said to all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be for a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. Thus it shall be for a witness against you, so that you do not deny your God." Then Joshua dismissed the people, each to his inheritance. It came about that after these days, Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, be 110 years old. He finished his work, and he died. But when you read here, there was a witness. Basically, this building has heard every one of these sessions, and is a witness and a testimony. Because that message gets stored in the fabric of the building. I've actually got a piece of that stone from that place where Joshua was down in my office. Someone went to the place and actually dug up the stone and actually cut it up into pieces, and I've got a piece. Because actually, there is a record within that stone. Because words don't just disappear. They stay in our hearts. They stay in the fabric of things, and they become a testimony. And God wants us to outwork and fulfill. So I'm going to dismiss you today to your inheritance. You want it or don't you want it? Because it's your choice. You can have the fullness of your inheritance as sons of God, or you can satisfy for what's less and miss it. But it's up to you. Joshua was 110 years old and he died. It's like, let's be willing to fulfill the purpose of God in our generation. Let's take the examples of these things, these 40 things, and let's go for it. I believe we live on the edge of change in unprecedented scale. We've got to be ready for it. Are you willing to accept your destiny? Are you willing to embrace it? God is about to release a new order of priesthood on the earth. Heavens and earth. It's a royal priesthood of the order of Melchizedek. Now, I'm not going to teach that today because it would take a long time. One day, I might. But God is raising up a new order of people. Faithless people who are willing to fully obey him. And he's going to back that up with authority and power like we've never seen. Are you ready to be part of a Joshua generation? Are you ready to be equipped, maybe by the Joshua generation, to be that Jesus generation? Don't be a Moses generation. A Moses generation missed their inheritance. And even 2.5 tribes stayed beyond the other side of the Jordan, never to be heard of again. Don't be one of those. Be part of those who take their inheritance. Amen?